All righty. Good morning. So where we left off the last time, we are going through the Sermon on the Mount. A couple weeks back, we talked about the Golden Rule. And from here on, verses 13 through the end of this chapter, Jesus is really going to give us warnings about not only hearing what he says, but he wants us to put into practice. You know, we want to be practices of what we read. And there's no greater long-term and time message than the Sermon on the Mount. There's so much application when we think about the blessings that God gives us. It's because he's gracious and merciful. And he wants us to realize that not only is he gracious and blesses us, but he's also a stern God who wants us to follow him and put into, again, practice what we hear. So today's message is, I pray that it's very applicable to us. And beginning in verse 13 of chapter 7, Jesus will say, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." This is a warning that there's only two paths. And the question I have simply is, which path are you on? Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. It's a description of how we are living, a way of life. Are we living a life choosing, because God gives us always a choice to do what's right and be on the narrow path? Or even the question I ask is, why should we even enter through the narrow gate? Is this just a story Jesus made up? What's the reality of this gate to be on? And why wouldn't we want to be on the easy gate road? The wide gate. Isn't it much easier to be on a path when we're going for walks that are very large and big and wide, that we have plenty of room to walk on it, versus the little skinny trail that's out in the woods and it's closing in with pricky branches and things around it, but it's so little? But I believe that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, stay on the narrow gated road, because we have two choices. There's two gates. This is Jesus' message. If we don't get this right, then it's on us. Because Jesus already lays the message out of what we need to do to be following him. He says, the narrow gate's difficult. Or it's demanding, I would say. It's demanding and it's hard. Being a Christian isn't the easy road in life. I think all of us have experienced that striving to do good, living for God, is not an easy path versus how we once lived when we were in darkness. Only the faithful are on this road till the end. And that's the key thing too, is we have to be faithful to the end on this narrow path. It's walking the same path as Jesus, right? In 1 John 2:6, he says, anyone who claims to be in Christ must walk as Jesus did. Jesus walked all the way to the cross. And so, again, there's something about following this path that Jesus always set the example, always set the pace. He was never a hypocrite when he was confronting people of their hypocrisy. This is the path we need to be on, the same one as Jesus. It's the less traveled way to the gate, because, again, when you're going through the woods and you're on a narrow path, it's a small way. It doesn't mean it's always the easiest to go through the pricky branches and the hard ground and maybe the rocks on the ground, but it's the right path when it's narrow. Sometimes when that wide path's way open, it leads to other things that aren't proper. We may not even get to the destination we want to. Only this way, on this less traveled path, this is where we are to think that only this way leads to spiritual fulfillment. Being on that narrow path, that's where you're fulfilled, and there's where eternal life is later. I said later because we're in the eternal life now. But I'm talking about when we die in these bodies. We raise up, resurrected. The opportunity for being on this narrow path is to be with God forever. And I think that should be pointed out. You can't help but see that God has a promise. So being on this path requires intentional efforts. And I say intentional efforts because many will try. Many will try to enter in the kingdom and won't be able to. And Jesus said, you have to be willing to make changes for me. To follow me. Come follow me. Consider the cost, right? In John 14, 28-30, he talks about a king, or he actually talks about building a place, and if you're not able to finish it as a Christian, you got to finish what you start, because if you're a Christian and you start something, people say, well, this person's life's changed so much, but then you didn't count the cost fully and you began to lose heart. You're not able to finish what you started, then people will begin ridicule and say, that guy used to be a Christian, but he's definitely not living a Christian life now. I believe that's the idea here about having to make intentional efforts to the end. Humility and sacrifice. Being on this path, and I'm saying this in thoughts that it takes a great deal of humility to read our Bibles and to put into practice by faith the words in this book. And so, denying ourselves to serve God and His church. In Luke 9, we know the passages on picking up our cross and following Jesus, but I do really believe, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, if anyone, not just the Christians or if you're not a Christian, he says every human being has to deny themselves to pick up the cross and follow me. The wide gate in verse 13, just two verses, but the wide gate says it's easy that leads to destruction. It's inviting the path of least resistance. It's so easy to go there. It's so inviting. It's enticing. It's like, this is... Restrictions of living aren't there. Who cares if you're living righteously? Just live life. That's the attitude. It goes with the flow. Worldliness. It goes with the flow. Everybody else is doing it. Why can't I? Or even the attitude of, I'm not that bad of a person. Surely, this is okay. Or... It seeks, being on the wide path, again, I think about the past of people's lives that aren't, or that are Christians now, that weren't, you seek instant gratification. Remember those days of just seeking gratification, instant gratification, the impulse decision, the attitude of anything goes. How about the no discipline, the procrastination? Well, maybe I'll become a Christian when I'm really old, but right now I'm young and I'm just letting it go. God's way feels too restrictive on this path. This is the mindset I think of the younger generation. It's like, whoa, to be a Christian, there's a cost to this. And then this is the wide road mindset, the thoughts. Self-reliance. And this is where a lot of people fall in. I know better than God. I don't need God in my life. I know better. Trusting your heart over God's commands. Jesus said, putting into practice, right? He gives these warnings at the end of his letter here, his sermon. And we have to keep the commands. Why do we pray? Why do we fast? Why do we serve the poor? They're commands of Jesus. Living in compromise. When we are on this wide gate, there's a compromise because we're trying to walk both paths. Though it's impossible, a lot of times people have as I've expressed before, you have kind of have like 1 foot in. Like, I'm not all in to serve God and His people, but I go to church on Sunday to get a little piece of religion. Or I'm on, struggling to be on the narrow path. And that's the hard thing about living in compromise. It keeps a person not focused on serving God with all their heart and fully as they can. The reality of the two paths is that narrow path, it requires the teachings of the kingdom of God by Jesus, even as I have expressed, the Sermon on the Mount. If we get the Sermon on the Mount right, we're doing well. We're doing well. All areas Jesus preached on are hit in Christian life. And so what's sobering about the reality of these two paths is few find this. It isn't like we're going to have 7 million Christians in Tingsboro because everybody wants to be one. Everyone wants to be a follower of Jesus. Very few find it because it requires effort and discipline. The word being a disciple has the word in it, being disciplined. When you're a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, you're disciplined in that area of your life. And it takes effort to pray and read God's word daily, does it not? It takes effort to get close to God and to draw near to Him with all our hearts. The reality of this path is it's unpopular. You know, actually, even before that, you're among the minority who claim to be Christians, because many will say, right, and later on in 7:21, Lord, Lord. And why do you call me Lord if you don't even do the things I'm telling you to do? How can you call me Lord? He's saying. It's unpopular to follow Jesus. If you go out and share your faith and just talk to people at work, anywhere, about truly what it means to follow Jesus, you're going to be ignored and rejected. I think the hardest thing is sometimes being rejected, or ultimately being ignored is a tough place to do to be too, because you're in a minority. The world doesn't always get excited about us teaching people about what God commands and demands. I say demands because there is some demand to being godly. There's no middle path. And what came to my mind is Jesus said, if anyone is not with me, then he's against me, in Matthew 12:30. So there's no middle path to be walking on. It's not like God says, well, I'm going to leave an option. Let's give people a middle ground. That way they don't have to completely deny themselves. And they can sin a little bit, knowingly, they're okay. That's not Jesus' heart. All for Him, or we're against Him. That's really a strong message that Jesus preached. We're with Him, or we're not. And that's His heart. We enter fully committed to following Jesus. It's a full commitment. It's about His kingdom. And by default, we're working against God in His kingdom by default. And that's in Acts 5:39. It demands a surrender to God's will being on this narrow path. A surrender to it. I need God in my life attitude. You can't help but realize that without being on this path, there's not going to be a need for you to know and want God in your life, because the wide gate is very much easier than the narrow path. The narrow path is tough because it exposes our hearts to see just how lost people are around us. Jesus saw many helpless and harassed, weighed down by sin and religious pride. So you have that example of, well, people are weighed by sin. Jesus saw people helpless and harassed. And it's hard when you're a Christian and you see people helpless and harassed and you go, I know the cure for them. But to try to convince and persuade people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, people don't want to hear that. But then you have that other side where people are religiously already religious people. They say, I know God. And then you strive to help somebody know God by the Bible, I'll say. And there's pride there. People don't want to be corrected for where they're at spiritually. But that's the reality of being on that path. And then the hardest message to absorb is you'll be hated because of the truth. When Jesus says you're going to be hated because of me, he means what he says. I mean, if you're bold enough to share your conviction and what makes you tick before God, and you share that with somebody that's not in that shoe, it's going to either help them know him and they're going to be broken about what they've done, or they're going to hate you. There's no in between love and hate. I don't think there's in between. You either love them or you don't. And then you have the broad path, and Jesus says many find the broad path. I think this is the most sobering part of this thinking. You don't have to look too hard for it. The broad path's huge. It's plenty of room. I mean, the majority of the world is on the wide path. No real need for God. There's a song, "I Did It My Way." Frank Sinatra, maybe. But it's that approach. I did it my way. Whoever feels, whatever feels right at the moment. You know, how many times, hey, what do you want to do? I don't know, let's just go party, right? Whatever feels good at the moment type attitude. It's popular to be on the broad road. Sin initially gives the impression of fun, excitement, and freedom. That it does. I mean, there's just, when you don't have any restriction, no conscience toward God, you just live in life, and you go for what makes you feel the best. Hebrews 11:25. And those on this path really don't care about the next person's soul. When you're on the wide path, we're not even thinking spiritually to care about where the next person is going before God when they die physically. Do whatever you want as long as it doesn't bother me. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that thought? These are just quotes I've heard in my passing and talking, so I put them up here because this is where my mind goes when I think of people on the broad path. As long as it doesn't bother me. Or no understanding of the consequence of sin, Proverbs 16:25. No desire to snatch others from the fire. When you're on this broad path, if someone's sinning up a storm, you may recognize they're worse than you are. But when you're on the wide path, you can't even help the next guy know that he's going to be burning up forever on that being on the wide path. So, and then this type of being on the broad path mindset welcomes opinions and lifestyles. This is what I was thinking. Opinions. You have your opinion about God. I have my opinion. Well, can we really have multiple opinions about God? We need to know God. No God or no God, right? And lifestyles. Lifestyles, we can go down a big path of that. But people choose lifestyles that are contrary to God's word. We're not here to hate people that choose a lifestyle that we know is not godly. We're here to rescue people and snatch them from what the Bible says that is not, that is sin or wrong, or that you would be condemned for it. And so, this path is wide and spacious. All my friends are on this path type attitude. All my friends are going there. There was a song by AC/DC in the 70s. It was called "The Highway to Hell." And he says, all my friends are going there too. And so it's just really a sad mindset. Because it's hard to think, surely not all these people are wrong. There's no way all the population of people on the outside of our worship to God and in God's church and how to enter His kingdom, God's going to cook all these millions and billions of people. That's just a hard thing to put our heads around. But the reality is, the work is a few. There's very few people. And I say this humbly, but most people are on the broad road. In fact, Jesus gets real strict and says, even in my kingdom, I won't go too deep, but he will weed out of his kingdom the weeds and the tares. there are people that look pretty good, but God weeds that out too. Is it a strict path? Yes. That's why Jesus is very strict in his message. He says the reality is that people are deceived. They're going to be eternally separated from God while believing a lie on this path. That's the challenge. You can't think just because the majority is going in that direction, even religiously, doesn't mean it's right. And Satan's always there to deceive us, to make us think of lies and to do lies and live out lies. And we have to resist that. And we'll talk more about that next week on how Jesus is going to tell us that we're known by our fruits. So all on this path are not on the narrow path. It's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple statement, but this is the majority of people. So you have the final destruction of the two paths. You want to get serious about this? Jesus is very serious about how we conduct ourselves in his kingdom. He takes it serious. And we have to be serious and see the distinction between those who are of Christ and those who are on the outside if we're ever going to snatch people from the fire, as Jude verse 23 says. Where does the wide path lead? Jesus says destruction. And the word destruction, if you look up the Greek, it's eternal punishment. I mean, I can't think of another thought in my head that when life is over, an ungodly person on this path of width, the wide path, he'll be punished if he's not on the narrow path. That's what he says in Matthew 25:46. And he says, these will go away into eternal punishment. If we could grasp the word eternal, I think we'd be more sobered of that reality. But it's hard to grab hold of eternity when we're still physical. But after this short life is over, forever exists. Forever exists. And the soul of a man never dies. It lasts forever. God made it this way because he created us in his image. And yet, we choose what path we're going to be on. And that's why it says, the righteous into eternal life. There's a promise there. It's not all a condemning message. But Jesus is very serious of how we take the path. The broad path has many standards. And none of them are with God. People make up religious standards even, and they go to church. They read certain parts of the Bible and they believe it and they run with it and they teach other people that, but that doesn't make it God's standard. Amen. Always have to be willing to do what God says. The lie, every person who dies, these are some thoughts when I put this together of what people have said to me over some time, the last couple of years I've been preaching. Who dies goes automatically to be with God in heaven. This is one of the most deceptive words Satan has put in people's minds, that you can't go wrong. You can be on the wide path doing whatever you want. It's okay if you're on the narrow path. That's a good thing while you're living, but that's just your choice. And that's just a lie. No one automatically goes to be with God that is not on the narrow path. Why must we be on the narrow path? Because it leads to that eternal life. Salvation. Jesus walked on this path himself. And I said, he leads the way home for us to be with God. The narrow path ends in glory. There's glory at the end of this life. We sing the song, just a few more weary days and I'll fly away. Fly away where? To glory. It's a reality. I don't know if we can fully grasp it. I can't. Maybe you can. But that's an incredible thought. Only if you find this path. You know, because only if you search, right? Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock earlier in chapter 7, 7-8. Ask, seek, and knock. Earnestly seek me. you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. And there's got to be an honest search for God. If you don't want it, there's no way you're going to find it. If you're just going to church, that's not going to save you. It's looking for God, and you will find Him. Amen. You seek it, you seek the kingdom first. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said earlier, there's no way you'll miss it. You can't miss the kingdom of God. And again, we're either in the kingdom or we're not. That's what Jesus said. You're either with me or against me. You're either in my kingdom, you're on the outside of my kingdom. You're either saved or you're lost. That's how He works. And then the last point is making decisions to stay on the narrow path. For the Christian, even for the unbeliever or someone that's striving, is get on and stay on the narrow path now. That's what I put up there. Get on the road. At least be humble enough to get on the narrow path and stay on it. That faithfulness means to stay on it. If you're a Christian 50 years, keep going. Keep going. Don't ever give up. Make a decision to stay humble, like a child. Like Jesus said, unless you enter the kingdom of God like a little child, you will not inherit the kingdom. Be humble. Be humble and be willing to stay in that mode for God. Make a decision against materialism and a desire for things in the world over God and His kingdom. This is the thing that people struggle with mostly today, is people so wrapped up about things and homes and all that desire, it distracts people from looking at God and His kingdom. It's a narrow path. It's a narrow path to be on. We have to make a decision to persevere through the hardships. In Acts 14:22, it says, Paul said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not an easy path. You're going to have hardships being a Christian, but the reward is so great that Jesus emphasizes it over and over again in His ministry. To make the decision to stand through and stand firm through persecution, it's tough to be persecuted as a true Christian. People don't like to hear they're on the wide gate going to be condemned, hell. Somebody's got to say something. Somebody's got to do it. I believe Jesus wants everyone to be on board with that. We got to help the people. Make a decision to believe and obey God no matter the circumstance. And that's in Hebrews 3:5-19. That's a good passage to read. And the invitation, if you found the narrow path, every one of us here, keep walking on it and be grateful. When you think about how few find it, this is an incredible blessing. And it's only because God's allowed us to come to Him. Be determined to stay on this. Be determined to help others find it. I mean, there's a few searching. Let's help them find the kingdom. And how do you enter the narrow road? This is the answer. You got to enter through Christ. Jesus Christ, the only way. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I will say that if there's anyone here that's still on the wide gated road that leads to destruction, I mean, we can't get any more clearer. The answer is through Christ. This involves repenting. Obviously, repentance is a number one problem with man to come to God. Is we have to give up everything we have to follow Jesus, change our hearts, change and give up, be willing to give up the things you know that aren't right before God. Come forward and be baptized. We baptize for the remission of sins, that men can be clean before God. That's the answer to coming through Jesus. So if there's anyone here, please respond as we sing the invitation song.